All right, listen up. This is Hoxton on Audio Boom. Get your ears working, people.
This week on Double Tap, we speak to the creative director of Adrift.
It's a soul survivor story. You're all on your own. You're the only one. Also, one is the loneliest number, especially in space.
And Megaran, the nerdcore rapper whose new album is based on WrestleMania.
In general, just the developers who were able to make games, soundtrack them, and do all these other things with very limited palettes. And so I think that's when the most creative stuff comes out of you.
Hello, and welcome to Double Tap. In this week's show, we chat to the creative director of Adrift, Adam Orth, who spills facts you won't yet know about the game and reflects on his time since leaving Xbox after he was dismissed for posting some offensive tweets. But first, nerdcore, the curious subgenre of music which combines nerd culture and hip-hop. And this week, we chat to Megaran, though he could just as easily be called Mega Dude, ahead of his weekend at WrestleMania. We kicked off chatting about his new album, Matt Mania, inspired by wrestling, and chatted about the title track, Here Comes the Pain.
I was put on this earth to seek and destroy and to hurt people. Is that sadistic? Is that sadistic? Is that sadistic? Maybe to some people.
The Brock Lesnar song, Here Comes the Pain, was the first release and probably the biggest. It debuted on Rolling Stone.
Youngest in charge with the game under my arm. Anyone in my path has done considerable harm. Really a don, scratch that, really a god. Really put the gloves on and went in the octagon. Straight shooter, the mind of a super...
He's definitely one of my favorite guys and probably my favorite of the new guys. So I felt like it was best to drop with a big impact. So,
and what's the response been like to the album?
Everyone who's listened to it has given me nothing but great feedback. They tell me that they enjoy it. You know, they crack a smile. They get, you know, reminded of the good old days of wrestling. I just wanted to do something fun that would bring back people who maybe listened or watched when they were kids, like I did in the 80s and 90s. And maybe it'll just kind of jog some of those memories and have some fun with it.
And what, I know this is probably a difficult question to answer because it will probably be like choosing between your children. But if you had to pick your favorite track, which one would you pick?
I'm between a couple. I like the Macho Man track because Macho Man is like my favorite wrestler of all times.
Sarasota, Florida, second generation. Talent with the charisma that captivated nation. The innovation, the voice of a generation. Accept no imitation, the best in the federation.
That and the newest one, the Bray Wyatt song with MERS on it, because he's probably my favorite new guy.
Submit to me, because salvation's a mystery. I suggest you run from the new face of fear. Ready to see hell, I'ma take you there. So run, or submit to me, because salvation's a mystery. I suggest you run.
And one of the songs was inspired by Jake the Snake, right?
Always being a fan of his, but I think recently I watched the Resurrection of Jake the Snake movie, which was really, really well done and kind of like heart-wrenching, you know? It was, but it's a positive story at the end. It has it's a great tale of redemption. And I thought that more than anything is the theme. And the best theme of a wrestling project is redemption, you know, starting off great, maybe falling off, becoming the underdog, and then winning.
Welcome to the pit with the Aurelius Smith, who will take you on a journey with his various gifts. Spoke softly and carried a big snake, traveling state to state, training hard to get great. Yeah, sharp mic skills and big feuds. Steamboat Savage, Rick Rude.
Jake's story in itself makes a perfect movie, which also, you know, makes it make a perfect song. And that was just really a tribute to the way the movie was done. You know, DDP and those guys really, you know, were so dedicated to bringing him back to the house and to keep him clean and to change his life. And I think that everybody needs that, you know. And so I wanted to tell that story. So in that song, we have two verses where I tell that story, but the other guy tells the story of Jake in his heyday, you know, kicking butt and taking names and throwing the snake on people.
You have ears, but you cannot hear. You have eyes, but you cannot see. But Jake the Snake can make you feel as bad as I want to at any given time. And remember this, a reptile in a bag is not what this snake's all about. The DDT, I will use it, I will abuse you, my friend, I will enjoy it.
So I just wanted to show how there was two sides to the business and to the, you know, to mostly every story.
And what do you sort of find inspiring about video games?
I think the music was the first thing that got me. It was the 8-bit sounds on the Nintendo. But I just think now I've looked at it a lot deeper, and it's the creative freedom and the vast, wide openness of a lot of video games that, in general, just the developers who were able to make games, soundtrack them, and do all these other things with very limited palettes to work with. And so I think that's when the most creative stuff comes out of you.
It hasn't been done before. So who would you say were your musical influences?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of soul music. Guys like Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson, stuff like that. And later, moving into hip-hop, I was a big fan of LL Cool J, Beastie Boys, Slick Rick. Usually guys who told stories. And so I thought, I loved the fact that you could tell a story within hip-hop and have a beginning, middle, and end. And it was just like a good term paper.
Mm. And do you find it kind of interesting, the coming together of hip-hop and, you know, this sort of nerd culture? Because obviously they're both quite stereotyped. Hip-hop stereotyped to be quite cool, and nerd culture is obviously stereotyped to be quite uncool. So how do you find those two cultures fitting together?
I definitely encounter resistance, you know, from hip-hop fans, you know, and then with nerd culture fans, people who are maybe fans of anime or video games, who would be like, oh, it's rap, you're ruining that, you know. So I just try to make sure that, you know, that it's at a high quality. Like, I take my time with the lyrics, I take my time with production, just to make sure that, you know, from a technical standpoint, at least, no one can say that it's not well done, you know.
Mm. And you've done a couple of tracks that have been kind of either in the titles or somewhat incorporated in video games. Would you ever want to do one, like an entire theme for a video game, like the whole game?
Yeah, actually, I would love to do that. That's something that I feel like maybe as my rapping and touring days wind down, that would be something, that a kind of project that I would love to undertake, is to just sit at home and work on a really, you know, deep game soundtrack. So that's definitely on the top of my list of things that I want to be doing at some point in my life.
Are you looking forward to WrestleMania?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't care about WrestleMania. I don't even like wrestling. Wait a minute. What are we talking about right now? No, really, I am. I think, you know, the excitement starts to swirl around this time. And I think I'm going down there tomorrow. And I'll be hanging out with some of my friends and some of the wrestlers, and it'll be a lot of fun.
And just as a final question, have you got any more music coming up this year?
Well, right now I'm working with building my label, Random Beats, and we're going to be releasing more music. Me, personally, I'm going to try to slow down on releases of albums, but I will be releasing some singles. We put out a new song, maybe sometimes two new songs, every month on Patreon, which is bitsandrhymes.com, and myself and Kay Murdoch do that. I have an artist by the name of Sky Blue, whose music I'll be putting out. There's another really great album, instrumental album, by a guy named AF the Naysayer, which is coming out. So all these projects I'll have my hand in, you know, so be on the lookout for, I guess, at least three new projects this year that I will be producing. You know, so I may not be heard, you know, vocally on those records, but I'll be behind the scenes helping to make sure that they come out the way that we want them to. And hopefully, you know, you'll hear them and enjoy them. Everybody get ready. Here comes the pain.
Matt Mania is available to download from Megaran.com. You can get it for free, or you can share some dollar with Megaran if you think it's as awesome as we do. And of course, keep an eye out for him at WrestleMania this weekend. Now it's time for the gaming news with producer Jamie Wareham.
Final Fantasy XI has shut down for good on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 2. Square Enix made the announcement that they would be bringing the franchise's first MMO to mobile devices in early 2015. However, its servers are still running on PC, and console players are able to make the switch without having to repurchase. Hitman Episode 2, Sapienza, will be released on April the 26th. Sapienza, the fictional Italian city where the episode is set, is described by Square Enix as full of dark secrets and engaging stories. And while you wait for Episode 2, you can also play 10 new vampire-themed challenges that were recently released in an update to the first episode. And Sega is to publish all Atlus's future games in North America after having finished its acquisition of the company. None of Atlus's previous games are going to be affected by the change, including games Yakuza 5 and Hatsune Miku Project Diva. And now for the esports with Karen Bevan.
And in esports news, UC Irvine will be the first American public university to launch an esports initiative. They will offer scholarships for up to 10 student players to compete in the League of Legends Collegiate League. Riot Games, who are supporting the programme, said, "We're honoured and hope this will inspire similar programmes at colleges and universities across North America." Warner Brothers Interactive has expanded its Mortal Kombat 10 competitive circuit to include new tournaments which cater to professional and amateur players. Now in its third season, the ESL Pro League will feature top global players in an 8-week online battle with a $200,000 prize pool.
Adrift, that's spelt with a 1, not an I, is the long-awaited release from 310, Adamorth's new production company. In this frank interview, he talks about how his new game is hugely inspired by leaving Xbox and his personal journey. He also reflects on what it's like to be a gaming developer and starts by explaining how his first-person experience game begins in outer space.
Survivor detected. Hardiman Aerospace, North Star 4.
Well, so Adrift is the story about this astronaut who wakes up floating in space amongst the debris of this destroyed space station with no idea how she got there, no idea what happened, and a badly damaged EVA suit leaking oxygen. Which is, you know, pretty bad setup. Pretty bad scenario to find yourself in. So your goals in Adrift are simply just to stay alive and get home safely, and you accomplish that by exploring this destroyed space station environment, hunting for precious resources like oxygen, patching up your suit, and then repairing it and repairing a lot of the systems aboard the station that allow the emergency escape craft to function so you can get home. And along the way, you start learning the stories of your crew members who didn't survive. And through their stories, you learn who you are and kind of what happened.
Finally going home. Doesn't even seem real. 22 months since mission start. 10 longer than I signed up for in the first place. I promised Lucy I was going to be there for her. I promised myself I wouldn't leave her like this again. Broke both of those promises by taking another selfish paycheck job while we were at
Adrift is what we call an FPX, first-person experience. And basically what that means to us at our studio, 310, is like really highly immersive first-person experiences that are non-violent, narrative-driven, they involve exploration, and they have really kind of a meaningful story and interesting characters that kind of connection to maybe parallels in our real lives than just a fantasy story.
So obviously you've heard it a billion times, but it's been compared to Gravity quite a lot.
What?
But
mission abort.
Explorer, this is Kowalski confirming visual contact with debris. Debris is from a BSE sat.
That's not where you got your inspiration from. So tell us the kind of the interesting story behind the inspiration for the game.
Yeah, I mean, if people see like similarities in our game to Gravity and they kind of use that as a jumping point to kind of understand the game or at least kind of be on board with the type of experience they're going to have, that's fine with me. Like, at first, I will admit I was annoyed by it, but then I embraced it, and it became a really powerful selling point for the concept. A lot of things inspired the game, but mainly an incident, a public incident that I went through in 2013. Involving Twitter, and I was working at Microsoft at the time. That whole experience really, like quite literally, just like blew up my life.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom.
I've always kind of been fascinated with soul survivor stories, and I'd always kind of wanted to make do one of those in space, and after that experience I had, when I folded that, what was going on in my life, into this game idea I had, it became a really powerful narrative, metaphor, and game idea. So
check ignition and may God's love be with you.
And then a lot of influence from, like, the main kind of influences for the game were 2001 A Space Odyssey, a lot of David Bowie, oddly enough, a line of Braun coffee makers from the 60s and the 70s that had a real, like, awesome aesthetic that kind of played into the art of how we started to visualize the space station and stuff like that. But the narrative is really very personal. There's a lot of, like, my personal life in these stories. So, and that's on purpose. Like, I wanted to do something really true and honest and raw in a game, which I don't think you see often.
So tell us something that people might not know about Adrift.
Oh, that's a good question. No one's ever asked me that before. The Earth in Adrift it's correct, and it spins appropriately and has day and night cycles and weather and stuff like that. My friend Brian Bell from the rock group Weezer played a bunch of piano pieces in the game. We deleted the game like 3 times while we were making it to start over.
Wow.
On purpose.
Why?
We just weren't satisfied. It wasn't good enough.
So you just scrapped the whole thing?
Pretty much, yeah. All the level design and everything, we threw it out, started over a couple times.
What was the experience of going from a big studio to making an indie game like?
It was crazy. Having worked at all these big places and being what I consider highly knowledgeable about the video game industry, there's so much I had no idea about. And the learning process, opening a studio and becoming an independent developer was just, I mean, I thought it was going to be hard, but it was like 1,000 times harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the Earth is correct in it. How realistic did you make the game, or did you try to make the game in terms of, you know, being in space and that experience?
It's kind of like a rule when you're a game developer, you want to make a space game. Through a lifetime of reading science fiction novels and watching films and TV, it was pretty clear right from the beginning that we weren't going to make like a realistic space sim. That would not be a fun or easy or even possible game to make. And so early on, just decided to abandon most of the rules in favor of entertainment.
And you've got, it's a first-person game, and you've got Oculus Rift support. What do you think that virtual reality could bring to it?
It's not really Oculus Rift support. Like, we built the game for VR and non-VR from the ground up. I think a couple things work in our favor with VR. Number one, the concept and the world and the fiction are kind of a perfect fit for VR. Most importantly, it really projects you into that fantasy of being an astronaut. It really lends itself to that feeling. I mean, you have a headset on your face and you feel like you're in a helmet, and it's just very visceral and real in a way that is much different than a traditional, you know, playing on a 2D screen.
And for those HTC Vive fans out there, it's just been announced it will reach the Vive in May. You can download Adrift right now on the Steam Store. Big thanks to Adam Orth and 310, and also to Raheem, or Megaran, the Nerdcore artist, for speaking to us today. Coming up on Double Tap over the coming weeks, composer Jason Graves on the Far Cry Primal soundtrack, The Initiative, Girls Make Games, and a look at Quantum Break. See you next week.
Double Tap is an Audio Boom production written and presented by Alice Taplin.